It is Pentagon Solutions today, as it is every Wednesday in the 3 o'clock hour. And today you'll hear from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, and later on in the hour from Major General Stephen Quast of the Air Force, talking about plans and strategies for the upcoming quadrennial defense review from the Air Force's perspective. But we begin today with Secretary Hagel speaking at a Marine Corps air station in Hawaii, talking about the role of the military throughout the course of his presentation, and also talking about personnel issues. But we start with Secretary Hagel talking about the role of the military in the Asia Pacific part of the world changing.
I know something about you all. I know the kind of work you do. I know what you mean to our country, but I also know what you mean to our presence in this part of the world. You are at the front end. You are at the cutting edge of security, of stability, of prosperity. That's a big task. That's a big responsibility. And we're very proud of what you're doing. I want to particularly acknowledge the wounded warriors for your sacrifices and what you continue to do for our country. I'm also much aware of the lava dogs as they have made our country proud with their outstanding performance in the exercises in Thailand and Korea. Thank you. The Marine Aircraft Group 24, your exceptional work. All of you, every day, do so much for all of us, and I want to acknowledge that. I'm on my way to the ASEAN Defense Ministers Plus, which will be held in Brunei later this week. I'm going to stop first in Malaysia and Indonesia, and then Brunei for the minister's meeting, and then to the Philippines, and then go back back to Washington. I'm going to try and reinforce much of what your leaders here in this part of the world, and particularly headquarters here, the general, all your commanders, Admiral Locklear, all of our institutions headquartered here in Hawaii are doing to promote our interest in stability and friendship and partnership in this part of the world. You're all much aware of our rebalance that President Obama initiated a couple of years ago. And I wanted to talk directly to some of our friends in this area of the world about that. I had my first opportunity to directly assess and discuss our rebalancing when I was at the in Singapore at the Shangri-La Dialogue with many of the ASEAN leaders and other nations like Russia, European allies, China, who some will be in Brunei. But this rebalancing is not only about security. It is not only about our security interests in this area. It's about a partnership of prosperity for this region of the world. Over 6 billion global citizens today. We are all now a part of one market. And the threats that confront the world are not unique to a region, to a country, to a religion, to an ethnic group. These are universal threats, and alliances become even more important than they've been in the past. That means coalitions of common interests, partnerships, recognizing that prosperity and a future for all people and freedom depends on many pillars of construction. Certainly security is one, but it's not the only one. So this is a partnership that we are working through and enhancing and strengthening in this part of the world. You are all part of that. As I said, you are at the front end of that. You are at the cutting edge of that. And what you do and how you do it is particularly important as to how the world sees America and how they view our interests, But probably more important is how they view our intentions. And that's always important in dealing with people around the world. So thank you again for what you do. That's a little bit about what I'm doing out here, other than the congressional delegation. And Governor Abercrombie gave me a visa to come in for a day and 24 hours so I can swim tonight before dinner and then go on further west. But it's always a pleasure being here. And before I take your questions, I want to also thank the people of Hawaii. The people of Hawaii who have hosted our installations, and all of you, the magnificent and gracious hospitality, the support they've given us all, should be acknowledged. And I want to let the people of Hawaii know how much we all appreciate them for what they have done and what they continue to do.
That is Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel on Pentagon Solutions Today. More from him in just a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Technology Insights with Tom Frana, President and CEO of Vion, speaking with John Mansfield, Executive Vice President, Global Solution Strategy and Development for Hitachi.
Are there any surprises that you've seen over the last 18 months, 2 years, that will lead to something significantly different in the next 18 months or 2 years?
We're seeing a lot of movement now in solid state. We're seeing a lot of movement in data analytics, the adoption of the Web 2.0 architectures. I'd say if you look at where Hadoop came from, it was really the Web 2.0 guys trying to solve problems that traditional IT vendors did not. So that's going to be one of the things as you look at what does the open source movement do, how do you adopt it, how do you leverage it, and how do you implement these sort of technologies into your IT roadmaps going forward.
For over 33 years, Vion excels at providing IT solutions and services, addressing the most complex requirements. With partners like Hitachi Data Systems, Vion customers are offered the most innovative technologies available with Vion's level of reliability and flexibility. To hear more of technology insights, visit Vion.com.
Ask the CIO is brought to you by Learning Tree International.
Matthew Chase is the CIO of the Medicaid and CHIP Payment and Access Commission. He says the commission turned the traditional data management model on its head.
We have 3 years under our belt now, but I don't think the answers are any more clear. And using big data continues to grow. So for us, building further capacity to store large data securely and perform analytics, really using cloud services is the right answer.
Listen to Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Get empowered with the IT skills you need to improve performance and help your agency achieve its goals. Learning Tree is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government, and they're both on GSA IT 70 and MOBIS 874 schedules, which means all levels of the government and qualified contractors get the best tuition savings possible. Save even more with Learning Tree's 50% off select IT and management courses each week. For 50% tuition savings, go to learningtree.com/CIO. That's learningtree.com/CIO.
Here are some tips for a fun-filled weekend with Marvin Bond, editor of Recreation News. Any events coming up that make you feel like you've stepped back in time?
August 23rd to 25th in Prince George's County, Maryland, there will be encampments, tactical demonstrations, treason trials, historical vignettes, all commemorating the 199th anniversary of the Battle of Bladensburg and the attack on Washington during the war. You can find out more on page 20 of the August Recreation News or at princegeorges1812.org. The Maryland Renaissance Festival is running weekends plus Labor Day Monday now through October the 20th. You can head over to the festival grounds in Crownsville for some great food, interesting activities, entertainment, and even jousting. Find out more on page 24 of the August Recreation News or, as always, at recreationnews.com.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Beth Reardon.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Thursday's Federal Drive. We get an on-the-scene report from the National Interagency Fire Center in Boise. The western wildfires are coming under control, but they've burned through the budget. Now the Forest Service is scrounging. And NASA engineers are taking a new look at ways of making helicopter crashes more survivable. Don't worry, they're using crash dummies. Those stories and much more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM at federalnewsradio.com. Today on Pentagon Solutions, more now from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel speaking at a Marine Corps air station in Hawaii about changing force structures in the Pacific region. He also talked about the impact of sequestration on DOD. In this highlight, he takes a question from a Marine that Secretary Hagel says weighs on his mind every day.
Good afternoon, sir. Lance Corporal Stacy from CAS. My question is, due to the downsizing of the Marine Corps or military wide, what is the challenges that you face as far as keeping the appearance to the public of our military polished?
I'm sorry, the last part of our military, what?
Just keeping, as far as the public eye, keeping our military looking strong without any, lack of confidence.
Yes, I get it. Good question. Important question. In fact, that question is one that I deal with as well as our leaders deal with every day, for the very reasons you ask, but the implications that were present in your questions are we projecting weakness and lack of confidence when we talk about the downsizing and the limitations of financial resources. There is a balance to that, and you're exactly right as to how we tell the story. First, I think it's important that, as always, every leader, no matter what area that you lead in, you first have to be honest, and you have to be direct, and you must be clear with the situation. You couldn't be effective Marines without those things. First of all, you wouldn't follow a leader who was not clear, direct, honest. If for no other reason, you wouldn't trust him. You would have no confidence in him. So I start there in answering your question. We've got to be honest with the American people. We have to be honest with the Congress. The Congress has to know our best assessment as leaders of our national security institution, what and how our capacity, our capabilities would be affected with large cuts in our budget. Second, can we do things better? Can we do things more effectively, more efficiently? It is a different world. We've just come out of one war in Iraq. We're winding down the second war in Afghanistan. Doesn't that mean that resources will be freed up? Yes. We've been through this kind of downsizing in the history of our country before, as we have unwound from Desert Storm and Vietnam and Korea and World War II, so on. But we've made it very clear, as direct and honest and clear as we can be, whether it's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dempsey, or your leaders here, or leaders all over the world in this institution, that even with these cuts, and they are severe, and they may be even more severe, that there is no question America has the most significant military capability in the world. There is no military close to this military. And we have made it very clear to the American people, to our friends and allies, and to our adversaries that that is the case. And we are not without resources. We are not without capability. And you can measure that by any metric. You start with the strength of any institution. First is your people. You are the best trained, the smartest, the best led, most professional military force this country's ever had. And that is not to minimize the service of every generation of military men and women who've served the United States of America. That's not to marginalize their service at all. What I've just said is a fact. Our NCO Corps is a corps enlisted like no other armed force in the world has. No one is even close to having an enlisted NCO Corps like we have in our institution. The technological superiority, every element of that, no one's even close to it. Even with our downsized budget and projected even more downsize, there's not a country in the world even close to our military budget. We have alliances which don't diminish our strength and our interests, but they enhance our strength in our alliances. So when you look at the balance sheet here, we are going to be the best, most capable, strongest military force in the world for a long time to come. At the same time, as I said, we've got to be clear and direct with the reality of the consequences of continued significant budget cuts and how fast those budget cuts are coming, because they give us very little flexibility in the tough decisions that are going to have to be made. Institutions as big as our Defense Department, I don't know of one bigger in the world, but any institution is constantly reevaluating, has to, its effectiveness, its efficiency. How can you do it better? And there are different threats in the world. I mean, 10 years ago, how many of us would have thought too much about cyber warfare as a threat? Cyber warfare represents one of the greatest threats to the security of America of any threat out there. Certainly nuclear war is a clear and large and overwhelming threat, the damage a nuclear exchange could do. But cyber is this quiet, insidious attack on our systems, our country, without any nation firing a shot, invading us, sailing a ship against us, putting a bomber in the air against us, sending a missile against us. My point is, the threats are changing. The challenges are changing. 10 years ago, yes, terrorism was a threat. But what's going on today in the Middle East, for example? What's going on in North Africa? Elements of terrorism and the coordination and the coalition of terrorist groups is now something we've never seen before. That's going to require different kinds of strategies and thinking. And that doesn't mean we're going to not need our Army or our Marines or ground forces, for example. We'll always need those forces. But it's new strategic thinking, new strategic reviews. And we'll get there. We'll come out of this stronger and better than we went in.
That's Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel speaking in Hawaii. We'll hear more from him in just a moment on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You're listening to Pentagon Solutions. And later this afternoon, you can find Secretary Hagel's speech at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Report is brought to you by CDWG.
Cybersecurity protections are expanding at the Defense Department to include new mobile systems. DoD says it's taking a full-on approach to IT protection services and going from just focusing on email and business systems to anything that's connected to the agency's networks. That includes mobile devices, laptops, and even air conditioning and plumbing systems. DoD's Chief Information Officer, Terry Takai, says the official new regulations will be released in October. I'm Sean McCauley.
The mobile workforce. There's no doubt they're mobile, but can they work? If you're in federal IT, that's up to you. Visit cdwg.com/mobility to see how they can keep your people productive and your network secure. Sounds like a win-win. CDWG, people who get it. Visit cdwg.com to learn how SAP Afaria mobile device management solutions optimize operations in today's mobile world.
True innovation means anticipating challenges before they occur. Lockheed Martin was early to recognize the changing nature of naval warfare. New types of threats in coastal waters called for a new kind of combat ship. We responded with deep thinking for shallow waters, designing the littoral combat ship with speed, agility, and the most networked sensors of any surface combatant. And to make sure commanders stay one step ahead of evolving missions, The LCS is built on a flexible C-frame with interchangeable mission modules. It offers the operational flexibility to execute focused missions such as anti-submarine, mine, and surface warfare, providing access and dominance in the coastal battle space like never before. The LCS is one more example of our ongoing commitment to those who are meeting the security challenges of today and tomorrow. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
DRS is up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
The Oversweetened Heart. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Being a sweetheart is a good thing for romance, but apparently a bad thing for a real heart. Researcher Heinrich Techtmeier of the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston saw this in data on heart cells. Dr. Techtmeier says an overload of a product of sugar called G6P created an imbalance in protein in the heart.
The heart muscle cell is unable to cope with this protein load, and it starts to weaken. It contracts less strongly.
He believes this can contribute to heart failure, so he advises people to watch their diets, notably sweets, and burn excess sugar by being physically active. The study in the Journal of the American Heart Association was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Who says summer is slow in Washington? Break through the noise of end of fiscal year buying with GovEvents.com, the premier online resource for government and military events worldwide. GovEvents has over 25,000 members, providing a great platform to reach the government audience this busy season. GovEvents provides a cost-effective way to reach the government and military community with your brand, product, or event advertising. Contact them today at GovEvents.com to learn about available packages. GovEvents.com, where government gathers.
Now your Federal News Radio cybersecurity update, afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour. In her farewell speech, outgoing Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano warned of the cybersecurity threat. Almost at the same moment, major media sites were under a hack attack by a group calling itself the Syrian Electronic Army. The New York Times website was unavailable for parts of Tuesday afternoon. Researchers at domain registrar Melbourne IT say the Syrian Electronic Army also hit Twitter. Computer World reports the hacking group doesn't go after organizations directly, but rather aims at their domain name registrars. Earlier this month, the SEA hit Outbrain, a company that provides web services to the Washington Post. You get your cybersecurity update afternoons at 30 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You're listening to Pentagon Solutions with highlights from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel's speech at a Marine Corps air station in Hawaii, talking about changing force structures in the Pacific region and the impact of sequestration on the Defense Department. In this highlight, Secretary Hagel outlines a timeline to implement budget cuts in the future and has some insight on the future of retiree benefits for the military.
Lance Corporal Wasser, HMLA 367. Last month, you gave a speech at the Pentagon on the topic of sequestration, and in your speech, you brought up ideas that you had on making major military cuts to all the branches. So to go off of basically all of what you just said, how soon do you expect us to be reaching the goal of the cuts that you've been talking about, sir?
Well, I think reductions, realignments, all that go into what we just went through in a 90-day exercise, which I noted in that speech, the strategic choices and management review, which gave us some sense of what the realities are based on three budget options, how that would then direct our choices, how that would direct our cuts, how that would direct reductions and consolidations as we prepare for our budget year. As we move into the fall, as we present to the Congress a new budget early next year, as well as a quadrennial review, which is mandated by Congress every 4 years to essentially red team and put in a group of experienced, respected experts to come in and take a look at what we're doing, how we're doing it, and come up with suggestions and ideas as we move forward. And I just met with the group this week, matter of fact, and present that to the Congress and to me and to our leaders. It all flows right into the same intersection to answer your question. We are making consolidations and reductions now. Part of that is a result of what the Congress mandated over the last couple of years on reduction of forces. We are bringing our force structure down with Marines, with Army. That's not new. What is new is the abruptness and the steepness that we'll be forced to make those reductions if we're not allowed to bring this down year after year and give us some time to strategically plan for it. So we're making the reductions now. We're making some decisions now. They'll continue to be made as we flow out. One of the other biggest problems we have is the uncertainty of what our resource base is going to be. I don't have to ask the members of Congress for clarification on this. They are as frustrated, I suspect, as I am, and our leaders. We don't know what kind of budget we're going to get next year. Is sequestration going to play out, which is now the law of the land? That means another $52 to $54 billion cut in the next fiscal year for us, if that continues. So we have to plan for that. That is the law of the land unless something changes. Will there be an adjustment made by a new budget agreement by the Congress and the President before that occurs? I don't know. Will we have a continuing resolution based on the numbers for this fiscal year? Next fiscal year begins in about 6 weeks, October 1st. I don't know. You can't turn an enterprise like the Defense Department, as big as this is, around in a year or 2 or 3 months or 4 months. So that uncertainty is as big a problem for us as anything else. We're not whining about it. It's what it is. And what the Strategic Choice Management Review was all about when I directed that a few months ago, let's get on with it. These are the realities. Life's tough. I wish I controlled more things than I do. So do you. But I don't. And so I'm living in a world of reality. I'm not living in a world like you all either. You're not living in any world but what is the real world. Not the world that you wish it would be, not the world that you hope it would be, or not the world that maybe you think will be. It's the world of what it is. So we have to plan for that. And I think this is going to make us stronger. I have tremendous faith in our people, in our culture, in the commitment of all of you and people all over the world to our values and who we are as a people and as a nation. So we'll come out of this stronger than we went in.
Good afternoon, sir. Sergeant Akimsey, Headquarters Battalion. My question was actually going to pertain to sequestration and cutbacks, but now I'll ask about what does the future look like in retirement in the military, since there's talks of changes to that?
Well, thank you. You see, that's the advantage of being a former senator, and no offense, senators, is that when you get one question, you take the opportunity and you just answer six or seven, whether you're asked or not. So I'm glad I was able to answer part of that question that you had. But the future for retirement, there's no question that, not unlike our entitlement programs in the United States, Social Security and Medicare, they are unsustainable with the path they're on for the reasons I suspect most of you know. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to cut off retirement benefits, but if we address those adjustments that are going to be required out into the future, just like in Social Security or Medicare, if we make some adjustments now and we're smart, then we can adjust what we need to adjust and assure that the benefits that you've earned, that we've promised, are going to be there. For all of you, when you retire, your benefits should not be impacted by whatever tough choices that we're going to have to make. But there are things we can do now with TRICARE. Healthcare benefits for retirees, for example, are the biggest part of the increases that are growing year by year by year, not unlike in the civilian world. So how do we adjust to that and assure those benefits of people have earned them and we've committed to them? We'll do it. They're going to be there. But we're going to have to adjust and make some changes on how we come at it in the out years on the formulas used. They won't hurt anybody. You can make these kinds of things, whether it's in Social Security. I had introduced over the years Social Security bills on just the cost of living allowance. If you just take that for Social Security, for example, and you make some adjustments there, it's astounding how many billions of dollars you save over the course of just a few years if you make just a tiny adjustment there. Take one index over another. Now, I'm not going to play games with you on saying that your benefits are going to increase. They're probably not going to increase, but you're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be hurt.
That's Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel speaking in Hawaii, talking about benefits and a lot of other budget-related defense issues on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. You're hearing him on Pentagon Solutions today. When we continue on the program, a look at the Quadrennial Defense Review for 2014 from the Air Force perspective. Air Force Major General Stephen Quast speaking at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, and you'll hear from him next on In Depth with Francis Rose.
Sequestration and budget cuts made performing vital IT functions difficult for your agency? If so, it's time to explore another option with SUSE Linux, the open source leader. Save time and money by lowering the cost of your operating system and associated products with SUSE's expanded support program. It's the fastest way to save money on your next Linux renewal and lower the cost of licensing without changing any of your applications or systems. Learn more at SUSE.com/spendless. That's SUSE.com/spendless. Or purchase on SUPE through CDWG.
DRS is up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
The Veterans Affairs Department struggles to fix long-standing cyber vulnerabilities. Members of Congress question whether the personal data of 20 million veterans is being properly protected. And at a recent hearing, lawmakers learned VA's networks were breached several times by nation states. Federal News Radio explores VA's cyber issues and what's being done to fix the problems in our ongoing special report, VA Cyber Efforts in the Hot Seat. Find it all at federalnewsradio.com. Search VA Cyber.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive, James Silkenet, president of the American Bar Association.
Reducing the claims backlog and making it easier for unrepresented veterans to receive assistance developing their claims for disability pay. The backlog is significant. The time needed to process these claims is also significant. We can help develop an initiative that will assist veterans in receiving the pay that they deserve much more quickly.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Pentagon Solutions today and every Wednesday in the 3 o'clock hour. You heard, of course, from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, and later this afternoon you can find a link to the entire speech at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Switching gears now and hearing from Air Force Major General Stephen Quast talking about the Quadrennial Defense Review at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And in your DoD report brought to you by BAE Systems, afternoons at 40 minutes after the hour, General Quast says the upcoming Quadrennial Defense Review is an opportunity for the Air Force and for the department as a whole.
It's an opportunity to ask some of those fundamental questions. So as a team member for this broader Department of Defense journey that we're going to be on, I'm going to be helping articulate those questions from our chief and our secretary and our stakeholders that help the Air Force play a productive role, a helpful role at moving our Department of Defense down the road towards some of the things he was alluding to, towards the fact that our world has changed. And I'm not sure we have done a good job of considering how it's changed and what it means for what we're building and what we are building has with regard to relevance to the international community and our role in this world. So some of these questions, I think, are pretty fundamental that the QDR needs to ask, and it plays right into the Air Force core missions that I'll talk to in a second. But it, you know, the tough questions are, what is the nature of our world, and what role do we play in that, which is laid out by our president and our national leaders, and then necking that down to what kind of constructs, concepts, and methods do we look at to see if there's a different way, a better way of doing things, a way of approaching this business of security in a way that's affordable, because clearly our resources are diminishing. It also means looking at the entire relationship. You know, what are our end states? What are we trying to achieve in different places? What is the method we're using to achieve them? You know, our posture and our presence. Some of the same theologies that grew out of World War II need to be looked at and asked the question, is the technological place we're at right now with science and technology married up sufficiently with the way the world has changed, with the speed of information sharing to transportation to all of the other things that you all know so well, and is it married up well with the approach we are taking in order to be players in this world that bring stability, predictability, and peace where possible, and allow diplomacy and statesmanship to allow people to collaborate so that economic goodness flows from the global commons to America and makes America's engine of national security strong, and that's our economy. So for the Air Force, this conversation is a rich one, and it plays right into the entire purpose and reason why the Air Force exists. You know, when you talk about economies of force, when you talk about having aspirations to be a world leader, yet having to do it in an affordable way, the Air Force is your best bet in many ways, and that's why this conversation is rich. It's a best bet because what we do is we go out and we bring air and space superiority anywhere in the globe our president or our nation needs it to be, so that we can go and see, hear, understand the environment with the ISR and all of the other elements we have to understand decision quality information so that we are acting with efficiency and prudence, and we're acting in a way that has a cause and effect relationship of bringing peace and stability and not conflict, if at all possible. That we can then move things to wherever that place in the globe is that's the point of interest, and we can deliver things, whether it's humanitarian or whether it's other things, that we can get it there, and nobody can stop us if we have that will. And then finally, that we can bring to bear the capabilities to drive reassurance to our friends. We can drive deterrence to those that might oppose America's desire to be a leader for peace and good in this world, and that we can deliver it in any environment, contested, uncontested, it doesn't matter, that we provide our president and our nation options. And those options mean that we don't have to say no. In order to do that in an affordable way and to continue being that indispensable role that we play, or to play that indispensable role that we play in our nation, we've got to take a look at those underpinning questions about how we are structured and how we fit into the joint fight. And then finally, we are the command and control that links it all together. The Air Force is the one that provides that theater level, that command and control that will tie the entire joint fight, the coalition fight together in a harmonized way to make sure that we always maintain the comparative advantage against any potential adversary, and that nobody can do the cross-domain integration that the Air Force can provide in the command and control element and core mission that we play. So those kind of describe some of the questions I think that are out there that we ought to be asking. The QDR needs to ask other questions that go well outside the Air Force, although we benefit from. It needs to ask questions about these basics about compensation and efficiencies to make sure that we are good stewards of the American taxpayers' money and that we are doing it for the best return on investment possible. We need to take a look at our force sizing constructs to make sure that we're sized appropriately in the right places for the right capacity. We need to take a look at our models in total force to make sure that we have the balance right of how much capacity is in the reserve component and how much capacity is outside that for this future, depending on how our nation wants to proceed. And we do need to take a look always take a look at our homeland defense. The ability to look at what threats are out there for America that we might have to be ready for. So I'll close with the one statement that I think describes our charge in uniform, and that is we must be prepared for the unexpected. We will never predict what the future will look like. We'll always get that wrong. We always have as people on this globe. But we can build things that provide options to our American people that bring the resiliency, the flexibility, and the adaptability so that they can swarm and fuse to any problem out there and bring air and space superiority so you can actually go somewhere and see what's going on, provide the ISR so you can understand for decision-level quality information, that you can move things there to and from no matter what it is at the time of your choosing, and then finally you can command and control it and you can act with corrosive effects, diplomatic effects, humanitarian, you name it, you can put effects on target, and you can do it all at the speed of this world. And that's the final point I'll make. There's a temporal dimension to this security element that only the Air Force provides. And we have to not forget that readiness and our ability to move quickly. When the president or the nation has a problem in the South China Sea, and then hours or days later, you got a problem in South Africa, you need to be able to swing, and you need to be able to do it immediately. Otherwise, you allow things to cascade out of control, and it goes back to the old adage, a stitch in time will help you prevent spending much more in the future. The Air Force is that arm that brings the temporal dimension that really brings us a better future. And so this QDR is a wonderful place to have those conversations. Talk about how the Air Force plays into the joint community, the coalition community, the interagency community, and those things we uniquely provide this nation that has made us indispensable since our inception in World War II and will make us a player in the future that gets stronger and better, especially as we go through austere financial times where you need good economies of force and you need good return on investment on your taxpayer dollars. The Air Force is your service to provide that. Okay, thanks for letting me have a few opening comments, and I hope that those questions that I asked precipitate a few questions of your own, and I want you to take it anywhere you want, okay? Yes, I have my limits. I can only talk for the Air Force and the QDR role that I play, but I welcome any question because this is about, again, contentious conversation so that we as protectors of this nation collectively are making sure our policymakers and those with the authorities to actually make decisions are being provided clear counsel, and our nation does not regret that we didn't have the right conversation at the inflection point in our history.
It's Air Force Major General Steve Quast on Pentagon Solutions. He's speaking about the upcoming Quadrennial Defense Review process and the Air Force's role in it at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. You'll hear more from him in just a moment, some of the questions that he requested in just minutes on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, Hey, everybody, it's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
On Sunday, it's going to be neighborhood restaurant group all the time. The entire show is dedicated to Blue Jacket, Red Apron, Golden Brown Delicious. That means beer, donuts, and fine Italian cuisine. We'll have all the top chefs from Neighborhood Restaurant Group in studio.
That's Foodie and the Beast next Sunday at 11 and every Sunday right here on 1500 AM.
At BAE Systems, we realize it's critical that our armed forces can get the job done, even when budgets are tight. That's why our engineers created the technology to transform an unguided munition into a precision laser-guided rocket, the perfect low-cost surgical strike solution. Knowing our work makes a difference inspires us every day, so we'll be there on the next front. That's BAE Systems. That's inspired work. Learn more at baesystems.com/nextfront.
The Oversweetened Heart. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Being a sweetheart is a good thing for romance, but apparently a bad thing for a real heart. Researcher Heinrich Techtmeyer of the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston saw this in data on heart cells. Dr. Techtmeyer says an overload of a product of sugar called G6P created an imbalance in protein in the heart.
The heart muscle cell is unable to cope with this protein load, and it starts to weaken. It contracts less strongly.
He believes this can contribute to heart failure, so he advises people to watch their diets, notably sweets, and burn excess sugar by being physically active. The study in the Journal of the American Heart Association was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
The Air Force Association will hold its annual Air and Space Conference and Technology Exposition September 16th through 18th at Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center in National Harbor. Key speakers for the conference include the Secretary of the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force Chief of Staff, and the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force. Experience the latest breakthroughs in air and space technology from industry experts. Engage with conference attendees and industry exhibitors while discussing the issues and challenges facing the aerospace community today. Register now by visiting AFA.org. Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Pentagon Solutions today with highlights of a presentation from Air Force Major General Steve Quast at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, talking about different ways that the Air Force is preparing for the upcoming Quadrennial Defense Review. In this highlight, General Quast talks about three major areas the branch is considering for the review. The first area is looking at budget cuts and making an honest assessment of the resources they have.
You have to take excursions intellectually in order to try to find that sweet harmonization point between ends, ways, and means. And so, the unconstrained portion of that are these excursions where you start with, the nature of the world and your place in it and an unconstrained, if I could build anything that is feasible, how would I put that together? And it comes down to having a good strategy and taking those intellectual excursions that are resource unconstrained, and then blushing across it the resource piece, so that you start then looking for opportunities to innovate, opportunities to be creative about your approach, opportunities for the ways in which you try to achieve your end states that are informed by the resource constraints that are your reality. And this goes back kind of to the same principle. The way we approach it is the same, I think, that most people do, and that is that just as we do this iterative process of looking at the strategy, looking at our world, and looking for alignment, As you do that again and again, you start uncovering opportunities to do things in a different way that allow you to achieve a fuller degree your strategy. Just like cleaning your house, you got to do it every day. You start divesting of things that do not align with your strategy to the same degree or same level as others. So this iterative conversation is how we get after a strategy that is resource unconstrained, but being practical about the fact that resources are a part of the three-legged stool of that in ways and means, and that it's only the iterative process that allows you to start getting some synergy there and having something that's firm and solid and dependable. With regard to your second one and third one, there are a number of interesting paths you can take with regard to QDR and how you get after the total force. And so
that's Air Force Major General Steve Quast talking about the upcoming Quadrennial Defense Review at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. You can read more and find a link to General Quast's conversation at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.